Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Me, you are back.
Did you miss me?
Yeah, where have you been?
Stop lying. I was at a diaper party.
What is it? You just like, eat and it drink wasn't as for much myself. Until you poo yourself? What is that?
Pretty close, yeah. Yeah.
Was
just,
it fun?
It was a baby shower for dudes. Right?
Yeah, yeah, but it was like in the room right next door to the baby shower, so yeah. It was kind of weird. And
People buy diapers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I never had one of those.
I didn't even know it was a thing until like 3 years ago.
I had no idea what to buy. I have absolutely no idea. But there's different
diapers
brands.
And beer.
There's all kinds of different ages.
And there's a party for everything now.
You know, sorry, go ahead, Ron.
Well, I mean, like, you know, you've got the diaper party, you've got the baby shower, and I got the reveal party.
Yeah,
there is a lot.
That's too much.
How many more parties do we need?
I feel like one of the keys with the diaper parties is that to not get, like, newborn diapers, because, like, everybody's going to get you those.
Right.
Like, buy a little bit further on so they have a little bit of a stock there.
That's not bad.
I think that's probably
But do you
a good
go
idea.
With, like, the expensive brand and, like, really show that you love them, or, like, the cheaper
Whatever
brand
works.
Is kind of the same quality?
I would say
so.
If you go Pampers or Huggies, you can't go wrong. Or, like, Target brand, you'd be okay.
Okay.
Be fine. Okay. You're good to go.
Yeah, we're good. Then.
Anyways, I'm glad that you went to your diaper party and it went well.
Thanks.
All right, what are we fighting over today?
We've got a pair of tickets to see Alice Cooper and Hailstorm at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on July 25th with special guest Motionless in White. You can get your lawn or reserved tickets for just $19 for the rest of the week of sales. For more information and to get your tickets, go to 101ESPN.com.
All right, let's bring in our fighter. Meet, who's our fighter?
We've got Gerald with us today.
Gerald, what's going on?
Not much. How are you guys?
Oh, we are doing well. We're having a little bit of fun here. You ready to take on Randy?
No, but I'm going to give him my best.
I appreciate the honesty. And look, Gerald, you got multiple choice. You got a sporting chance here, all right?
I'll give it my best shot.
And also, Gerald, there's no penalty for losing. Like nothing.
Sure.
You're not gonna get fired or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean you're gonna have a little bit.
I don't
of
know. I hope not.
Shot of the pride.
Well, there might be a little bit of ridicule if people are listening that you know. But
Gerald,
don't worry
did you
about
tell
that.
Anybody that you're doing this?
100% gonna be ridicule. I
awesome.
Guarantee.
Who'd you tell you're doing this fight?
Everyone I know.
I hope it goes well for you, Gerald. You're gonna be just fine. Here we go. Question number one. On this date in 2004, Mike Danton pleaded guilty in a murder-for-hire plot. Who did he attempt to have killed? Was he trying to whack his wife, his agent, or his teammate?
I'm gonna say his teammate.
Can I tell you, I completely forgot about this.
It's one of the Best worst stories ever.
Yeah, it's a Dateline for sure.
Yeah.
Question number two: the Blues signed Carter Hutton in 2016. Carter was just on with us a little bit ago. Which team did he spend three seasons with before signing with the Blues as a free agent? Was it Nashville, Philly, or Buffalo?
I'm gonna say Buffalo.
Question number three, Gerald. On this date in 1941, Joe DiMaggio recorded a hit in his 56th consecutive game. In the modern era, the next closest to that streak is 44 games. Who accomplished that? Was it Jimmy Rollins, Pete Rose, or Paul Molitor?
Pete Rose.
And question number four, who was the last World Series MVP for the Pirates? Was it Roberto Clemente, Dave Parker, or Willie Stargell?
We'll go with Clemente.
All right, let's bring in Randy. Gerald, how are we feeling?
I have no idea, guys.
All right. Look, that's part of it. Now, who are you most nervous about ridiculing you if, in fact, this doesn't go well?
I told my wife I was playing. So I'm sure I get a phone call right after this.
Oh, good. Mm. Well, hopefully it's a congratulatory phone call. Like that'd be really nice. She'd be super proud of you.
I bet.
Hey, Randy, say hi to Gerald.
Hey, Gerald, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Randy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for listening. Thanks for playing. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Randy, Gerald's trying to not disappoint his wife.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I've tried that a lot.
I think it's going to go great.
He doesn't want to make it twice today, you know what I mean?
Whoa.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. Too far. Randy, you ready for this?
I'm ready, sir.
And maybe too soon. What?
Grow up.
Can we please go on with the fight?
Question number one, Randy.
Yes, sir.
Let's change the subject. Something a little brighter here.
I'm sorry.
On this date in 2004, Mike Danton pleaded guilty in a murder-for-hire plot. Who did he attempt to have whacked off?
Oh, yeah, I'm the child.
That's what they say. Yeah, have you never seen a mob movie? What do you want me to do, whack a guy, off a guy?
They don't say, yes, it's one or the other. It's not both.
I think it's both if you really don't like them.
David Frost.
Who was?
His agent.
Question number two. The Blues signed Carter Hutton in 2016.
Yes, they did.
What team did he spend three seasons with before coming over here?
Nashville Predators.
Question number three, Randy. On this date in 1941, Joe DiMaggio recorded a hit in his 56th consecutive game.
Wow.
In the modern era, the next closest to that streak is 44. Who has it?
Had it.
Pete Rose, 1978.
And question number four, Randy. Who was the last World Series MVP for the Pirates?
He shouldn't have been, but he was. Pops Sturgill.
We
against
got
the Orioles, 79.
A winner. Gerald, he got you, but it was a close one. Randy, you got all four. Gerald, you got one. It is his agent. It was his agent that Mike Danton was trying to kill. It was Nashville. Carter Hutton spent three seasons in Nashville before signing with the Blues as a free agent. Pete Rose in 1978, he had a hit streak the closest hit streak to Joe DiMaggio. It was 44 games. And it is, in fact, Willie Stargell, who is the last Pirate to win a World Series MVP. Gerald, thanks for playing, man. Try again.
Yeah, that's one more than I got the first time through, so I'm getting better, guys.
All right, good.
All right, Gerald.
Thank you.
412, your time check. Go ahead, Ron.
We're just looking for improvement. That's
it. A little bit.
All I can do.
Yeah. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. One thing about Rose, and I don't think maybe ESPN would do it, but probably MLB Network. Once that streak got to about 40 and we only had the regular channels we had at that time, ABC, NBC, CBS, all of his games, all the Reds games were shown on national TV. And then BT, he got mad at Gene Garber for walking him when he had a 44-game hitting streak. He didn't throw him enough strikes.
Sorry about it.
Well, the way it goes.
That's how baseball go.
Another way baseball go is sometimes you get hurt.
It happens.
Matt Carpenter to the IL with a foot contusion. Rookie infielder Edmundo Sosa has been recalled from Memphis as Carpenter, who injured his foot during the seventh inning of last night's game when he fouled off a pitch, heads to the IL for the second time this year.
Saw Sosa last year in just three games. It was a quick cup of coffee for him. Not surprising that Matt Carpenter ends up on the IL. I mean, he hits himself all the time, never leaves the game, usually walks it off. He's good to go. I mean, worse for the wear, but good to go. This time he had to exit. Not surprised here, and hopefully for him it's time to relax, get that thing healthy, and get back soon.
I hope that Edmundo isn't just Sosa.
Randy.
Sosa.
Okay. Randy.
All right.
Sosa.
Good one.
Are you surprised at all that it wasn't a Rosarena?
Yes.
Just due to the fact that you have Munoz and you have Tommy Edman.
Yeah, bring him up and let him lead off. Yeah, I am too. I am.
I was a little bit surprised. And maybe, who knows, maybe that'll be a move soon.
Coming up next in the Fast Lane, when you get the chance to play in the bigs, you have to rise to the occasion. Tyler O'Neill seems to be starting to do that. That's next on 101 ESPN. It's every day, bro. It's every day, bro.
You even lift, bro?
Hey. Bro Neil.
I got to tell you, I didn't even know there were bros in Canada.
Oh, you betcha.
I thought there were zero of them up north.
Yep. You heard from Danny Mac on FS Midwest. You heard from the Cardinals skipper, Mike Schilt. By the way, not that Bro Neil is an alien, but if you do a Google image search, you can find aliens. And I think we're 100% here. We all believe in aliens,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. We want to know if you do. We want to use the mic drop feature to find out if you believe in aliens and what do you think they'll do to our world?
And who do you think might be one? There might be somebody here who's
there
an alien.
There might be, but probably not Bro Neil.
We had somebody suggest we play Dead, Alive, or Alien.
I think that could get interesting.
That could get really fun.
Why is it that we always believe also that aliens are just far superior to us as far as knowledge goes?
What if they're stupid? You can't be stupid and get here from wherever they're coming
potentially
from.
Potentially they could. Like maybe like that's just their base technology. It's like they've got like travel figured out, but everything else.
Now that's possible.
They'll take them on in the 4 o'clock fight.
Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Do you think? So you think they would not know our sports?
I'm just saying that I'm right there with them.
Why are they always little green guys too?
I don't. You know what? That's another interesting thing about the Google search. You've got gray, green, black, xenomorph, whatever that is. What? So yeah, there's a lot of different colors and types of aliens, and we want to hear from you. Mic drop feature, do you believe in aliens, and where do you think they might be? Bro Neal last night with two home runs. In his last eight games as a starter, Tyler O'Neill, .387 average, three homers, nine RBIs, six extra base hits, and an OPS of 1.198. Pretty impressive, eh?
Yeah.
Dang.
Yes, and it's been at a time where the Cardinals have needed it a ton. They lost their biggest offensive piece in Marcell Ozuna. He was leading you in home runs, he was leading you in RBIs, and you needed somebody to be able to fill in and step up. And certainly you still look at the usual suspects. You look at Goldschmidt. You look at a hopeful resurgence for Paul DeJong before going on the IL today. You looked at it from Matt Carpenter. You needed those guys. But just a straight-up swap. You have a ton of potential in Tyler O'Neill. And when they made the swap, when they made the trade, Marco Gonzalez for O'Neill, they knew the upside that was there. But you also know when you have a player like that, he's got to be able to get reps to find out exactly what he is. A young hitter cannot thrive just getting ABs, you know, once a week. It's tough to do. It's tough to get that at-bat late in the game off of a reliever. So if you're able to get him some starts in a row, you can really see what he can do. Well, you're seeing a lot of the boom right now from Tyler O'Neill. He's driven in nine in his last three games, six for his last 12, and provided a spark when the Cardinals needed him the most.
And we're also in this situation where, independent of O'Neill, the Cardinals just need production. And while they're not really telling him, hey, man, you have to produce for us, and if you don't, our season's going to be in trouble, they still kind of need him to produce, or they might be in a little bit. As long as he's here, he has to give them something. And I don't think he should feel the pressure of that, and I don't believe he does, though I don't know him personally. But the situation the Cardinals are in with the injuries they've had, with the lack of performance from other guys in the lineup who are expected to do a whole lot more than they are doing, that's just the reality of the situation. They kind of need something out of Tyler O'Neill while he's here.
And I don't know how you guys feel about this. I have to accept Tyler O'Neill for what he is. This year he struck out 46 times in 142 at-bats in the minors and 34 times in 78 at-bats at the major league level. He's going to strike out, and I just have to come to grips with that. I have to live with that. That he, number one, that's what baseball is, not to that extent right now, but he is what he is. And I hope he gets better in terms of commanding the strike zone and not striking out as much, but you can't count on it.
No, but he is going to have to, just like anything else, when you have a little success, the league gets the entire book on you, and then he gets nothing but sliders down and away until he stops swinging at them. He was fortunate enough to get some fastballs here recently, stuff up in the zone, and it doesn't take much for him. He's so strong, it doesn't take much to get it out of the ballpark. You don't even have to hit the freaking sweet spot. I mean, he's getting stuff, just gets in the air, and it's out of here. So he does have to continue to develop as a hitter, put a little bit more solid contact out there. But right now he's been great. Another thing that he needs to do is he needs to get better as a fielder. So he's quick for his frame, but he's not super steady out in the outfield. You see him when he's running a lot, the head's bouncing. He doesn't look like he gets great beats on the ball. It's another thing he's going to have to focus on big time, and that takes work. That's being there early all the time, and he is. All those guys are. But he's going to have to keep focusing on that.
Yes, he does. And the other thing is going back to the offense and the striking out, 41.5% of the time he is striking out while only walking just under 5%. That's not a good ratio. And while I would prefer he make a lot of contact, I can live with it in the moment, and I think the Cardinals can live with it for now as long as he is producing otherwise. And his OPS is about 840, which is good. It's a little bit over 840, actually, right now. That's good. as long as he's doing that, the strikeouts don't matter. The problem with the strikeouts is if he continues at that rate, the likelihood is that production is going to come down because the peripherals are sort of suggesting it. So he does need to make better contact, and I know he's done it better at the minor league level, but he's going to have to find a way to do it up here.
And ultimately, you are going to get into a position where you're going to have a runner in scoring position in a tie game or a one-run game, runner at third with less than two out, runner at second with less than two out, where if you get your bat on the ball, you can help your team significantly.
Right.
And that's where a strikeout does matter, where you need to be able to manufacture a run at some point.
So as you're just painting that picture right there, I'm picturing multiple at-bats where we've seen Harrison Bader up just like that, and he strikes out, doesn't put anything on it. One that definitely comes to mind when Sergio Romo throws three sliders, not even close to the strike zone. He swings at all three. Good morning, good afternoon, good night. You have to be aware.
Right.
You have to be able to recognize, but you also have to be able to get reps. And reps at the big league level are different than reps at AAA because guys can exploit weaknesses way better than guys at AAA can. These are the best of the best that you're facing. So what do you do? How do you make the adjustment? How do you shorten up with two strikes? How did you just figure out a way to put the ball in play? With Tyler O'Neill, we hope that it's not long for Marcell Ozuna, but if he's doing what he's doing and Marcell comes back, guess what? You got to find a spot for him.
That's fine. Yeah, and that's why that what you're talking about, that strikeout percentage, really matters because pitchers are good. And at the major league level, they're going to find a way to really figure him out.
And they have video. They're going to know how other people are getting him out too.
Yeah. So he's going to have to tighten some things up there. But in the meantime, hey, they're getting production out of him.
Take the home runs.
Take it for now. Yes.
Next up in the fast lane, with the trade deadline approaching, what kind of players will the Cardinals be? Scott Miller of Bleacher Report and Turner Sports joins us to discuss that next on 101 ESPN. Great to have you with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN with Cardinal World Series champion Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji. I'm Randy Carricker. Let's head now to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. And Scott Miller of Bleacher Report and Turner joins us. And, of course, Scott also was the co-author of the book, along with Bob Tewksbury, 90% Mental. Scott, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How you doing?
Hey, guys, real good. Nice to be with you in St. Louis.
Scott, first of all, how is the book doing? I read it. I thought it was fantastic. Are sales great? Is everything how you want it?
I appreciate you saying that, first off. Thank you. It seems to be doing well. I don't know. You know, they don't give you daily updates on sales. I do know more than numbers. I do know two things. One, it was going to come out in in paperback a year after the release date, which would have been this spring, but they pushed the paperback back one more year because the hardcovers were selling enough that they wanted to let it ride for another year, so we were happy about that. The paperback will be next year. And the second thing that was kind of cool was this spring, our publisher reached a deal. They licensed it to a Japanese publisher as well, so it will be translated and sold in Japan sometime
soon.
So we're happy about that.
So in the process of writing the book, what did you find to be the most interesting thing about Tewksbury?
I knew him a little bit, which is how we got together. I covered him in his last 2 years of his career were in Minnesota. At the time, I was covering the Twins for a newspaper in Minnesota, so I knew I liked him. Smart guy, dry sense of humor. Anybody that can laugh a little bit is okay in my book. But over the years, I liked him enough that over the years we've kind of kept in touch. And, you know, people have asked me as a writer, like, hey, you're going to write a book? You're going to write a book? And my answer was always, eventually. I'd like to, maybe, one of these days. But I never felt like I had the time. But the other thing, I didn't want to write a book just like for ego gratification, you know. If I was going to put that much effort into a book, it was going to have to be a subject I was interested in or something that really appealed to me. And this whole mental skills aspect, because as we all know, I think more than any other sport, baseball is such a mental game, and it's the adding the mental game, the psychology of it all, that's a pretty rich field to me it's pretty interesting because you can see when you're around clubhouses every day how much has to go into it.
Scott Miller of Bleacher Report with us. By the way, the name of the book again is 90% Mental. And Scott, here we are just a couple of weeks away from the one and only trading deadline for the 2019 season. And it seems like this year, because of all the teams, at least in the National League, that are involved in the playoff race, it seems like it's more of a seller's market than it's been in recent years. Do you agree with that?
It does. I do think that. And I think that's why when the rule was changed to eliminate the August, early on, a lot of people in the industry felt like, you know what that's going to do is that's going to kickstart the July trade deadline real early. You know, clubs are going to know that, hey, we've got to get our work done by July 31st because we can't, even the mid-level guys who usually could sail through waivers and get traded in August, that can't happen this year, so everybody's going to have to start trading early. Well, here we are. We finally had a couple trades over the winter, over the weekend. Andrew Cashner going to Boston, Oakland picking up Homer Bailey. But really, all those predictions about it's going to start early, we haven't seen that much. And I think that I say all this to answer your question. Yes, I think if it was a buyer's market, then we would have seen more action by now. But I think it's a seller's market, so the prices are still high.
So right now we keep looking at this, and certainly the next couple of weeks will help kind of shape exactly what the Cardinals are going to do at the deadline. But as you look at the Cardinals right now, where they sit, what do you think the Cardinals are? I mean, are they a team that you think will acquire more talent? Do you think they'll stand pat? It's hard to believe that they would sell off a ton. But what do you think about the Cardinals right now?
I think the question is, will they make a big strike or will it be a smaller trade or two or three? I would lean toward that because it doesn't seem like the inventory is out there. I know there are a few pitchers with some relatively big names, Madison Bumgarner, of course, but Cubs are leery of overpaying for him because he's the guy that's a clear rental. He's a free agent this winter, so basically whatever you trade for him is going to be for 3 months. Marcus Stroman, I don't know that the Mets will trade Noah Syndergaard, but then position players, if you're looking to pick up bats, not a lot of real sexy names. Detroit's Nicholas Castellanos, probably the biggest. But as far as the Cardinals, I think, they're only a couple games out. I know, as Mike Schilt laid out right before the trade deadline, they've played better since the start of June, but they still can't get on that winning streak, that run where you win 10 out of 12 or 12 out of 14. The run that, ironically, because nobody expected it, the San Francisco Giants are on right now. So from that perspective, they clearly need to add to the team, but also the division is so bunched up that there's opportunity, man. There's big opportunity there for if you can add the right piece and or get on that roll.
And, Scott, it's not just the division. It's also the wild card race. You've got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You've got 7 teams, and they're all within 4.5 games of each other. If you want to include the Giants, then you're talking about 5 games. And that's a lot of teams all bunched up there, which means you've got a lot of clubs there that also are going to be looking at things before the trade deadline. So when you take into account the Rockies, Diamondbacks, Brewers, Phils, the Nationals, the Cardinals, all of those teams, how do you think the trade deadline will end up happening, or what will occur before it, because you've got so many of these teams that are within striking distance?
Right, and that could cause a whole bunch of paralysis and logjam inactivity, or some of these teams, I think, this is the job of the baseball ops people and the general manager. You've got to look in the mirror and you've got to be honest in your self-appraisal. And I honestly do think with the Cardinals pitching, they got Goldschmidt last winter. If I'm looking at keep waiting forever sure for Matt Carpenter to get out of this, whatever he's been in lately. But, you know, they've got with Cardinals' moves last year and some of the pieces they have. I think, you know, you look in the mirror and do the self-appraisal. I honestly do think the Cardinals are a team that should say, yeah, we've got a shot, both wild card and division. We need to go for it. Now, some of these other teams, like you mentioned, Arizona, Colorado, you know, Arizona, I think they look in the mirror. I know there are only a few out in the wild card, but I honestly think they're going to be sellers, or they should be sellers, just because the way they're built, the way they're constructed, they need to retool some things. They started that last winter by trading Goldschmidt and letting A.J. Pollock walk. So you look at the Diamondbacks. So in other words, I guess this is kind of a long-winded of saying you need to separate the contenders and the pretenders. And I do think that this bunched-up wild card race is stocked with a pretty good percentage of pretenders who I do think will end up selling.
Scott, is anybody going to beat the Dodgers anyway?
Well, that's the other thing. You know, I mean, you look at especially the clubs in the National League West, and going back to what I just said about Arizona, I mean, if you're Arizona, Colorado, San Francisco, even as hot as they've been, I'll leave San Diego out of it because they've already been rebuilding. They've got some good young talent. They're still trying to put some things together. But, I mean, if you're Arizona, Colorado, and San Francisco, you know, yeah, the wild card's there. But I think within your own division, you also have to look at, okay, who's in first place and what's the gap? And I think you have to look at it like in short term, not just this year, but like next year and the year after. And if I'm any, you know, Arizona or Colorado, you look and it's like, man, you're 15 games behind the Dodgers. The Dodgers have won seven division, or with a six in a row, it's going to be seven. There's such a wide gap between them that if you're, you know, why, if you're Arizona, try to scramble for the wild card? Because, A, you're going to get smoked by the Dodgers this year. B, you got a lot of work to do to close that gap. You know, one or two moves here at the trade deadline ain't going to do much good for you, big picture, over the next couple of years.
Scott, you wrote a great piece yesterday at Bleacher Report about the electronic strike zone. We know that the Atlantic League has been doing it. There keeps apparently more and more traction about this being a thing everywhere. Are we going to see it? Is it going to happen in Major League Baseball, in your opinion?
You know, I think the way baseball's gone with replay and the way technology's gone and the way they've gone with StatCast and all this exit velo stuff, the way StatCast measures everything, I'm leaning toward, yeah, I think it's going to be a thing here. I'm not saying next year or the year after, but, you know, they're testing it, as you mentioned, in the Atlantic League this year. By the way, that was supposed to start in April in the Atlantic League. But it took them about half the summer to get everything calibrated just so. You know, the Wi-Fi, the lasers that you know, shoot out and measure whether a ball's a pitcher, or a pitch is a ball or a strike. And they could, they had to make sure it was just right in every single ballpark in the Atlantic League. So the delays lasted until now. So the second half of the Atlantic League season, they think they've got it going. So it'll be interesting to see if they do, or if they have any technological setbacks or not. But I think if it works in the Atlantic League, I think we'll see a move into some minor leagues. And if it works there, it's the old story. If it ever is going to be in the majors, they're going to have to test. It's going to have to, you know, get to the point where it's like 99.9% accurate, if not 100%. But it seems like the technology's there. Baseball is putting a lot of time, effort, and money into this experiment in the Atlantic League. So I do think, you know, whether we like it or not, and I'm one that hates to see so much humanity removed from the game at the expense of technology, but I do think in the next 3, 4, 5 years, maybe 3 years is too soon, but I'd say 4 or 5 years out, I would not be surprised if we see it in the major leagues.
You've used the word strike a couple of times here. Please tell me we're not going to have one.
You know, going to be pessimistic about that whole thing. I mean, you guys know, I mean, I'm no economist, and I'm certainly no business guy, but you guys know as well as anybody else, and it's certainly, it's all about the money, right? And I just don't see baseball, even though attendance has slipped the last couple of years, it's still record revenues. I mean, this is an industry taking in more than $12 billion a year. I just don't see how the owners and players end up shutting that down when it's right now it's a cash cow. I mean, how do you, you know, go back to where you were in 94, 95 when every franchise other than Tampa Bay and Oakland is very healthy? All these new ballparks are up and running, and the money's flowing in. So I just think they're going to get something done.
Scott Miller, you're always great. Thanks so much for the time. We do appreciate it. We advise everybody to follow you on Twitter, Scott Miller, BBL Baseball, and hopefully we'll be able to talk again soon.
I look forward to it, guys. Always a pleasure speaking with you. Take care. Enjoy the Cardinals and your summer until we speak again.
Thank you, sir. That is Scott Miller. He's great. We love having him here on 101 ESPN. Next up, people are getting ready to storm Area 51, and we want to know if you believe in aliens. You think they're real? Send us a mic drop with the 101 ESPN app. You are next on 101 ESPN.
Damn aliens.
See, Matthew gets it.
I mean, it's a good theory.
Yeah.
It's a good theory.
Saw him at the Festus Walmart. That sounds right. Love you, Festus.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very good mic drop, by the way.
It is.
You guys should be utilizing it like he does.
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that we have people from other worlds that are
living here.
Living here.
Probably some of them famous.
Probably, yeah, I would think so.
So I know all those people want to go see them aliens at Area 51. Mm-hmm. You're probably interacting with them on a daily basis.
I would think so.
Yeah, you definitely are. I mean, this is happening. They're among us. It is what it is. We're dealing with it just fine. I still don't think that storming Area 51 is going to be in people's best interest.
Probably not.
Probably not. We want to know what you think with the Mic Drop feature on the 101 ESPN app. Let's hear from Matt.
Yes, I believe in aliens, and here's why. In the Milky Way galaxy alone, there are roughly 100 billion planets. In the time frame of just 12 days, NASA used the Hubble Space Telescope on just a little small patch of space and found 10,000 galaxies. I have to believe that somewhere in all of that space, there is a heavy-hitting, good defensive third baseman that the Cardinals could trade for.
Can't disagree with that.
Science, but then puts it into practical practice right there.
Like somewhere.
At some place, somehow, some way, in a galaxy far, far away, there's a power-hitting third baseman. I like that. I don't know if those numbers that he gave out were real or whatever, but they sounded awesome.
He's got to be right, though. There's got to be someone somewhere.
You'd think.
Do you think that there's... there's a form of baseball on some other, like, do you believe in the fact that there are parallel universes going on? Do you think that you and I are having this conversation somewhere else?
I don't know,
right,
but I'm wondering if there are any posting rules or anything, like if we're trying to sign a person from another planet.
Oh, there's going to be some international.
Signing money.
Intergalactic.
Stellar. Yeah, intergalactic signing bonus.
Let's get to Justin, who's next.
There are absolutely aliens, and who's to say that they're not good at baseball? I mean, maybe we put an alien in at the leadoff spot. Who knows?
I know we didn't ask for this. I'm glad it's gone this direction.
Hey,
and it's both been the same guy.
Look what happened to the Blues. Are you absolutely convinced that Jordan Binnington is from this world?
Not at all, actually. I'm less convinced he's from around here than he is up there. Because that dude's full-on alien.
How do you get those skinny legs and be that good at goaltending, you know?
He moves like a spider.
Bird legs.
He is anything but beefy, and beefy is our next mic dropper.
Fastlane, it's beefy, and I believe aliens exist in some realm or whatever. Mama Beef probably believes I'm an alien with all the dumb stuff that I've done, and I'm still alive to tell the tales. But I also believe that aliens don't want to show themselves because we as human beings have found new ways to pretty much harm and degrade our own society in any way, shape, and form, why would they want to associate with us if we can't even be nice to ourselves?
It's a great question.
It is a great question.
It's a deep philosophical question that I hadn't really considered.
It was. Beefy also sent us a text message earlier saying, because I asked, how do we know that aliens are smarter than us? And he said, because they probably don't eat Tide Pods. was also a very deep thought.
Yeah. I'm completely on board with that thought.
But again, do we know Tide Pods don't taste good?
Somebody must.
We could just assume that they don't, right?
Just assume, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here is Jeff.
We are the aliens, man. The aliens put us here. We are the aliens, bro.
Hey, bro.
That just blew my mind. I wasn't even thinking about that.
We might be. Do you think that basically we're just puppets?
Well, yeah. We built the pyramids. And we're the aliens. That's who built the pyramids in Egypt.
So then if we're the aliens, who are the inhabitants?
We don't know. Mm. It was probably just animals.
Wow.
What else is out there that they say that the aliens built? Is Stonehenge one of them?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, how could they do it?
How do we explain all the crop circles? How do we explain that?
Great Wall of China is a pretty substantial piece of work that people or aliens.
I mean, it's huge. You can see it from space.
Yeah.
There's a texter from the Hot Shots text line that says, I deliver for Amazon in Festus, and I can confirm that Mike Dropper is telling the truth.
Seen him at the Walmart.
Yeah, I think they're all just milling around the Walmart, stealing the carts.
Brian, who's next on 101 ESPN.
Oh, this talk about aliens is very silly. There are no aliens. Get over it.
Yeah.
Was that Bob Costas?
No, it was a straight up.
Damn.
That was a straight-up alien cover-up is what that was.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
I need sugar.
It's impressive.
Water. Oh, sugar.
My brand-new Earl suit.
So,
sugar.
I do hope that when the aliens show themselves, they do bring along their technology. We did get a tweet a little bit earlier here. This one from the 573 said, I definitely believe in aliens. I'm hoping that they will someday bring technology to Earth so that Brad stops blowing trannies. If you weren't with us last week, I blew my transmission out and had to get a new vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have loved to not have that. So they bring some of their automotive expertise. Maybe they bring the flying cars with
them. That would be great. I don't know, man.
What do you think the gas mileage would be in that? Or is they fly on plutonium or something? Like, what do those things fly on?
I don't know, but how does flying car road rage work?
Probably safer, honestly. Yeah. You can just go over somebody or under.
Yeah, I mean, you can't pull over and get in a fight.
And if you're tired of the traffic, then you'll just be able to go and drive on the roads.
By the way, it was a brand new Edgar suit. That's my fault.
Edgar.
Thank you for the text in from the 314 Edgar suit.
We do appreciate your mic drops, too. That was fun on 101 ESPN. Hey, this is something that is right up our alley here in the fast lane.
What?
A serial pooper, another story about that.
That's awesome.
Is on the loose in Michigan. We've got the details next before Take It or Leave It on 101 ESPN.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.